Hello, my name is Vesa Juvonen, and in this particular video we'll have a look on the new bulk user profile application custom profile properties update API. It's a long term for a functionality which will actually help you to migrate a custom attributes or user profile values from any line of business system like HR system from on-premises to SharePoint Online. The easiest way you can access this source code, which we will have a look on here, is by going to the dev.office.com, click resources, patterns and practices, and in the patterns and practices code example search, you can just use a term like user profile, and you'll see this user profile patch update API available within the patterns and practices samples. So we're going to click that one, and we'll see a short summary on the functionality and the sample, and that's also pinpointed into the GitHub location where the actual source code is existing. So the user profile patch update API, or whatever we actually want to call this, will help you to migrate information from the LOB systems or Active Directory from on-premises or from Azure to user profiles in the SharePoint Online. And this is needed because you cannot modify which attributes are getting synchronized from the Azure Active Directory to the SharePoint Online user profile store. So let's have a look on the functionality first from a code perspective, and then we'll have a look on the individual functionalities. So here we go. Here's the sample. So this is solution user profile patch update API. And this is, like mentioned, this is a sample code which is showing how the API actually works. So first of all, what we need is our source file. The source file is in a JSON format, and this is a relatively simple source file, but it demonstrates the API behavior. So we do have individual values or individual properties for individual persons. In this particular sample case, we're using the email as the identifier to find the target user profile in the user profile store within a SharePoint Online, to which will then update these additional attributes. I have here a one unknown address, so you'll see also the exception handling, so how things are actually executed if there's any persons who've left the company, or for a reason or another there's a mistake within the email, which is within the format or within the JSON file. But the target is essentially to get the profile property or these properties 1 and 2 updated to the user profile properties within the SharePoint Online site. Before we actually run the code, there is one requirement for the target properties. So let's actually jump back on the browser, and I'm going to actually show you that one from the tenant administrative side. So if you go to the SharePoint Admin Center, if you go to the user profiles and then have a look on the user profile properties, we can only target or update user profile properties which are not editable by the end users. Technically, you can update also attributes which are getting replicated automatically from the Azure Active Directory, but that doesn't really make any sense. So as an example, in this demo, we kind of update the city and office attributes which are available within the user profile store. So for example, for the city attribute, which could indicate on which location the office of the particular person is located, we need to have that property not editable by the end user. So if I click the edit button or edit for the property, we can then go and see the property settings. So this is a custom property which we don't have by default in a SharePoint Online. I created that pretty recently in my tenant. It has a name of city, display name city, length is 255 characters, and then the key point is the following setting here. So this is not allowed users to edit, because otherwise you might end up in a situation where you are actually, or the end users are modifying those values, and then your batch operation, which could, for example, run daily to synchronize some values from your HR system, would then override those settings within the SharePoint Online. Good. To be able to use the API, we need to get that source file, the JSON file, located somewhere within that particular tenant. And in this particular case, what I've done is that I've uploaded that sample TXT file, which is part of the sample available from the patterns and practices, to a document library. This is out of the box theme site document library. And we have that sample file here available. So we can use that as the source file or pinpoint the API to actually read that file whenever the timer job in server side will start processing the files. We do have here a few folders, which I'm going to explain slightly later, but these are actually log entries from the previous executions. So if there has been, for example, an exceptions or errors when that file has been processed, those exceptions and errors will be shown within these log files. So you really want to kind of think through where you want to store this file, because those folders are going to be generated there based on all of the executions. And you also want to have a automated way or think through how do you archive or delete these log files as well. By default, the API doesn't do that, which is something to be aware. And that's absolutely a great opportunity for community development, maybe to have an Azure web-based, web job-based implementation, which is then reading a file if it has modifications and also deletes the old log files. But let's have a look on the actual CSAM, new CSAM API. So I'm going to jump back on the Visual Studio and I'm going to open up my program CS file, which is actually having the business logic. So this is relatively simple program. It's asking me which tenant, which username, which password, and the file located in your tenant. And after that, it starts processing the file. So let's actually run through that together so you are able to see how the sample actually works. One thing what I wanted to pinpoint here is that if we have a look, quickly look on the NuGet packages, so we do have a reference to Microsoft SharePoint Online CSAM, and the minimum version which you need to use is the 16.1.4727. The CSAM version was released already back in, if I remember correctly, December 2015, and now the server-side capabilities are enabled in April 2016. You can absolutely use a newer version as well if needed. Let's go back on the program CS. I'm going to do an F5, start executing the file, and I'm going to show you what actually happens or how the sample actually works. So there we go. Our console application starts. It is requesting first the admin URL of the tenant. So let's actually fill up that one. So there we go. That's my admin URL to my tenant. It is then asking what's my name or the account which we're going to use to connect to that admin URL. Let's also add the password, and then it's going to ask me, okay, excellent, I'm ready to go. Where's the file which I need to process? So you need to ensure that the file is located somewhere in the SharePoint tenant, which you want to target those changes to. So let's actually write that, vsj.sharepoint.com/site/team/docs/sample.txt. And that was the location of the sample file, which we will process, and also the location of the sample file will define where the logs will be then added as well. So they will be added on that same document library if there's any exceptions. So let's start executing. We're hitting a first breakpoint. So we're connecting to the, well, first of all, we're connecting to the tenant site, and this is just to check the connectivity and permissions, so we're able to actually get that information outside of the tenant. There we go. We have a title, tenant administration site, which is correct. Then we need we actually concentrate on the real code, which is having the new API. So we take an instance on Office 365 tenant. We load that one, which is not necessarily even actually needed. But the key APIs and methods are within that object. The next thing to do is to tell for the code or the user profile patch import process what kind of identity we want to match, or the user profile within the within the SharePoint's site or within the SharePoint user profile store. And let's quickly have a look on the JSON format. So in this case, we're going to use email. And essentially what we're doing here is that we're saying that the ID name attribute is an email. It could be Cloud ID. It could be something else as well. So there's a few different options to use here as the identifier for the account which you want to target the matching. And then we're saying that the property within the TXT file is ID name. It could be, again, anything, but that's the lookup key for the identity. And then we are defining what kind of values we have within the JSON file. And in this case, we have a property 1 and property 2. And then we're saying to which user profile service properties will match those values. So let's again jump back on the sample TXT and have a look on this one. We have a property 1 or property 1 and property 2, and that seems to be an office, and that seems to be something else. Or that seems to be the city, and that seems to be office. So the property 1 will be then mapped to city, and the property 2 will be mapped to office. So the processing will then know which of the entries will be mapped to which user profile properties. And then we are calling the queue import profile properties. So we're bypassing the user profile identity type, what's the lookup key, what's the property mapping, and the URL to the specific file. At this point, the engine will do some level of checking. It's all, for example, checking that the properties are fine, the properties do exist, and they have the right property values within the user profile store. And that's it. The item has been queued for execution. We do have, and whenever we do that, we will get actually a unique identifier of this user profile property, bulk import property job. And we can use that for checking the status of that particular job. So we do have to do two different ways of doing that. In a tenant object, we do have a get import property job with the work item ID, and so we're giving that ID which we just got and load that one from the tenant. And in this case, we're then getting an input of that particular status of that particular execution. And we can see that it's test ID, the request status is submitted, error status is no error. So nothing has been yet executed, so there's no errors on the execution. Or we could actually query all of the user profile import jobs, and that's what with the get import profile property jobs, and that's going to then return numerous jobs which I've been executing within my tenant, so we can actually get all of those out in the console application. So there's like four of those. And that's it from an API perspective. So we can see actually that in my case, we have four individual executions within my tenant. One of them is in the submitted status, and that's the same one which we specifically queried and using that specific give me a one job status. These previous executions have returned an exception and with the error status of import complete with error. So there has been an execution or an exception when the files have been imported. And let's actually have a look on that one quickly. So if we continue, or I'll just quickly do an enter there so we can shut down the execution, and let's move back on the browser. So whenever there's an exception on importing any of those JSON files, if, for example, the JSON file format is wrong, or if there's an identity which we cannot match within this particular tenant, we will actually get a folder automatically created in this in the same folder where we had that source file. So that folder is for a one specific execution. And if we go to the folder itself, we're able to see additional log information. So if I open up this file, and let's open up that one in a notepad, we're able to then see the actual details around the exception which has happened. And this was pretty much as expected, because in the sample file we have a email, which I know that doesn't exist within my tenant. So the processing has happened for all of the identities which were actually within a tenant, but for this particular identity, it resulted an identity not resolvable exception. So you can actually follow up on if you have, let's say, mistakes within the source file or identities, so you get all of that information within these logs. And that's pretty much it from the API perspective. Relatively simple set of APIs, how to queue up the ID, how to queue up the jobs, how to then map the things. The one thing maybe to still show as well, as part of the sample, we absolutely have a sample how to do exactly the same thing using just native PowerShell, which is actually taking advantage of the CSAM assemblies as well. So you don't have to write any code. You can modify the script to match your environment, and you can see pretty much the same structure within the source code. So we're saying that the identity is email. We're saying that the lookup key is specific, which in this game seems to be actually not matching. So we need to update that for the sample still before the video goes live. And we have a property 1, property 2, CDN office is the target. But you can absolutely use the PowerShell to execute this as well. And there's an example also to get the status of particular item. Oh, sorry, this is queuing up of the file properties, and then you would be able to use that work item ID to check also the status of that particular execution. But in the sample, you'll find README file documentation and references to additional blog posts related on this particular functionality. But that's it. Thanks for your time and thanks for watching, and hopefully you'll find this useful. Thank you.